So I remember exactly where I was sitting when this story happened. It was inside, not outside, right? Where the person preaching normally stands at St. Lydia's. And it was a community meeting here in the fall of 2018. The church at that point had been without a pastor for a year and a half, and it felt like we were never gonna find one. By then I'd been around St. Lydia's for a couple years. I first walked in 2016, around the time Trump was elected, and it felt like the world, as we all knew it, was crumbling. I'd grown up in churches where the general message was that if you were good and prayed enough and did what you were supposed to do, God would see your goodness and give you a beautiful life. By the time I found St. Lydia's, though, my life was not particularly aligned with the beautiful visions I'd always imagined, a fact which called the entirety of my faith into question. But at St. Lydia's, there was this other experience of God and faith. We squeezed one another's hands after we spoke hard prayers out loud. Messy things were shared after the sermon and left unresolved. There was poetry. Every week, we all somehow together did something that didn't feel possible to do alone. We held up the uncertainty of our lives and of the world and found holiness and beauty in the muck of it all. Then at the start of 2017, our founding pastor announced that she was leaving. And suddenly things at St. Lydia's were uncertain too. I had found my way to this amazing thing that, you know, only, I'd found my way to this amazing thing and only for it to end or maybe change like a moment later. And this sort of seemed like it was always happening in my life. But also everybody said it was gonna be okay. We were this little baby bird of a congregation. We were finally ready to take flight, to walk toward our vision of what our future could be. And then we went a year and a half without a pastor, and people stopped coming. And the people who were still coming were tired. We ran out of money at least once. I think actually twice, though, like, it says a lot about that time that I don't remember. The place that was for me the truest embodiment of my faith, like, now I was up in the middle of the night every night because it seemed like it wasn't gonna exist anymore. And where was God? Weren't we like over here trying to hold space for God week in and week out? Didn't we deserve something for that work, like some reward? The writer of Ecclesiastes is in like a bit of a parallel headspace. Maybe the writer actually even feels bleaker. One commentator I read called the book aggressively pessimistic, which tracks with my experience reading it. The writer is looking around at the world and sees just endless work. Everything is wearisome, nothing is new under the sun. Nobody remembers what people did in the past, and therefore nobody will remember him. This day in, day out slog, like for what, for who? At that community meeting I mentioned, I was sitting inside there and there was news. Our call committee had found a pastor. And the main feeling I remember from that meeting is just like utter euphoria. This moment, it felt like a proof that the faith that I struggled to keep alive hadn't all been for nothing. We were this tiny group of weird people in a storefront in Gowanus, and it seemed most of the time like nobody cared, but God had seen us and wanted good things for us. That's how I felt. The reward had finally come, or was coming. I'm not gonna go too deep into specifics of what happened next, but the pastor we hired was not the right pastor for St. Lydia's. She seemed intent on dismantling everything special and unusual about the place. She did it in a way that was harmful to many people here, and it was a horrible, horrible year that followed. I struggled with my faith that year 100 times more than I had before. Like, what had it all been for, truly? Showing up every week, cooking meals and learning songs and going to meetings and raising money, what was that all for? If not to be able to eventually bask in like a really good harvest. I was promised a harvest. Why had God even brought me here to a place God now seemed so intent on forgetting about? In moments of uncertainty or change or crumbling, my inclination is to think, okay, well, that whole situation then must have been a mistake. That thing that's teetering, it must not have been the right thing. All those moments of joy and meaning and beauty couldn't have been real. If things are hard, if God feels absent, then it must have been a failure. And what are all these failures for? And let's be honest, generally in our world, there is a lot more that is uncertain or changing or hard than is placid or unchanging or easy, at least in my experience. And that orientation, if it doesn't look like what I want it to look like, it's a failure, leads me to a very Ecclesiastian place a lot of the time. I remember a lot of dark things from St. Lydia's very horrible year. But the clearest memories for me of that time are actually the moments in which people just knocked me over with overwhelming, undeserved love. The person who wasn't even a congregant who came to a very hard meeting and sat next to me just for support. The person who texted me about Willie Cather for an hour while I was on an airplane to keep me from having a panic attack. He surely had other things to do. The person who left in anger at the whole situation and then decided to come back and fight for the particular vision of this place. The people who kept showing up even when it was really hard. And wasn't God in all those moments, all those actions? At the time, the whole thing felt deeply like failure. And there were many failures, legitimate, unacceptable, painful failures that unfolded that year. But God was also there. And God's presence was no less meaningful or real because of those failures. A few weeks ago, Liz asked me whether I needed St. Lydia's and for what. You may have noticed that once again, we're in a time of transition. I don't know what shape the future of this congregation will take, or whether in another 5 or 15 years it will exist. And I should say that between the last transition and this one, we had some good years. Just for those who are not congregants or who are new here, we had a nice time some of the time. In typical fashion, I'm glossing over it. Though I am forever longing for things to simply be good, I also have to admit that I cannot believe in a God who only deems me worthy of good things when I am good. I want, actually, the God of failures. The one who looks into my messy insides and sees that there's beauty there. And that's why I personally need St. Lydia's, or at least want it very much. Because it is a place that reminds me that that is who God is. Walk in the door and something chaotic is probably happening. There's a sink full of dishes. Debbie has already put out a few fires. I've probably forgotten the melody of at least one song I'm supposed to sing. And we don't have a shruti player. But then someone walks in the door and can play the shruti. And somebody does the dishes. And I sing the wrong melody, but somebody remembers the right one. And we get there eventually. And somebody shares something a little bit inappropriate after the sermon, but also somebody else says something impossibly profound. Whatever comes, people have known God here. And that is not nearly enough. And also somehow, that is everything. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's. So we'll have a time of quiet reflection, and then you will be invited to share a story or an experience that was sparked either by the text or by what I've said. We share stories, not opinions, because Jesus told stories, and stories help us to know one another better. So we'll begin in silence.